The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Goody is going to jump on board today. We're going to do some media stuff around the finals, because if TNT had the rights, I think we'd be seeing a far more entertaining, well-put-together production than what we've seen out of ABC. And I'm not bashing. It's just I look at, like, Maria Taylor is out the door going to NBC. And she's there with Jalen Rose, and Woj is over on the side. And I love Woj. I want to see Woj break news. Woj is not there to break down the game, is he? When he gave a little bit of a nugget around Chris Paul opting out in a couple of weeks, possibly, and this may be it for Chris Paul, and he's never going to get a chance at a bigger number. Okay, that was a little intriguing on Saturday night. You know, you don't need to bring that into play unless there's really something there. That's just, hey, Woj, we got to get something out of you, right? But he's not sitting there picking games. And so it's just the whole broadcast side of it with the Goody. We'll get into that. Because the basketball stuff is pretty straightforward. I haven't been in this spot, right? And there's some things I'm going to get into as to what has happened in this series. And we'll get into that here momentarily. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support long time here in the state of Arizona. All right, Goody here momentarily. So the weekend, I'll get to the game in a minute. I had a friend that called and said, this a couple weeks back, he said, the Cubs are in town. I'd like for you to come with me to the Cubs-Diamondbacks game. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have the finals that day, and I really shouldn't do it. But a little voice said, yeah, you know what? You haven't been down to the ballpark. It's Cubs Diamondbacks. Fine. And I decided that Eric needed to get to game five. Jordan is going to Milwaukee today to be at game six. And I'll be at game seven on Thursday night. I'm not even going to say if it's necessary. It's going to be a game seven, just being straight up. And so I was going to do all my stuff around the Suns from home, and I did on Saturday night. I watched the game, and Eric was able to go, and I think it's terrific for him and for the staff. So we go to the game, and it's a Cubs convention, first and foremost. I mean, it is blue everywhere. And we're sitting there just joking with each other of, look, this is how it's going to go. In 2021, when the Diamondbacks were losing more games than anybody else, they would play the Cubs on a Saturday afternoon. They would actually lead. They would actually have no errors. And then they'd blow the game. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday afternoon. So that was fun. I've been trying to catch up with Ted Lasso because so many have said you need to check out Ted Lasso. I finally found a space to start binging on that, which was cool. But everything else has been around the finals. I did get out and play a couple rounds just to get away. You know, you got to clear your head on this deal and find a few hours here and a few hours there. So I went out to Southern Dunes and baked. It was great, but it was so humid. And then yesterday played out at out in the Far East Valley. So we played at Sidewinder yesterday. Now to the series. So in game numbers one and two, the Bucks did this whole deal where they kept switching on high pick and rolls. And guess what? The Suns just tore them apart. Tore them apart. Am I right? You've seen it. I've seen it. Then the Bucks said, you know, we're not going to do this whole high pick and roll thing. We are going to go pick up Chris Paul pretty much full court. We're pretty much going to make him work for 80 feet. And we're going to put Jrue Holiday on him. And so as this series has progressed, Jrue Holiday has been all over Chris Paul. And he's worn him down. Chris Paul had a fine game the other night. Did not have a tremendous game as we've seen him have at times, 42 against Clippers. Remember that? Seems like an eternity ago. But Jrue Holiday has worked and worked and worked on Chris Paul. And so what has ended up happening with the Suns is they've become pretty one-dimensional, in my opinion. Devin Booker is going to get the ball, and Devin Booker is going to look to shoot. And if Devin Booker gets a shot, then Devin Booker is going to score, and he's going to get his 40 or 42, and people are going to say, oh, man, that's awesome, and that's amazing. And I'll sit over here and raise my hand and say, the Suns are better off with Devin Booker getting his 26 or 28 and Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges getting their 16, their 18, their 14, and that hasn't happened. And so Jrue Holiday has become a huge difference maker in this series. He just has. you can make the argument that in this NBA Finals, the bigger play was the Jrue Holiday steal over the Giannis block of Ayton. But you cannot make the argument that neither one of those plays will go down as two of the bigger plays in NBA Finals history, because they both will. Both those plays, but if you think back to the Holiday steal, Booker's got the ball. We're all thinking he's going to take the shot and they're going to win this game and they're going to be up in this series. And instead, he turns right into Jrue Holiday, who just wrestles the ball away. And then Jrue Holiday makes a play for the ages, because there was no reason really for him to take it out and go on the fast break and throw the lob to Giannis, other than it was a hell of a great basketball play. It was extraordinarily entertaining. It was very athletic. It was greatness in motion, greatness in action. And it showed an exclamation point of why the Bucks are a win away from taking this series. This is not me going on about Scott Foster or me saying the announcers or, man, boy, the Suns got jobs here. No, there's none of that. This is everything about Milwaukee has just outclassed the Suns the last three games. Their big three, Giannis, Middleton, a second-round pick, by the way, and Jrue Holiday, who they gave up a boatload for to get, now it's paying off in spades for him, have simply outperformed the Suns' star players outside of Devin Booker. And so, you know, DeAndre Ayton, you can rip on DeAndre Ayton all you want. All I'm going to say to you on this one is he's not been through this before, as Giannis has been the last couple of postseasons, and Giannis got crushed, and Giannis got ripped on, and Milwaukee was supposed to get through, and they didn't, and now they're finally getting there. It takes time. You don't like to hear that. I don't know if they'll ever get back this far. DeAndre can go put up a quiet, it's been a quiet 20-10 for him, quiet 17-10. Hasn't been like I've looked at him and said, wow, he is just dominating inside these last three games. And Chris Middleton, all he does is play hard at both ends of the floor, make big shots. Connaughton comes off the bench and gives them a lift. Look at the Suns bench the other night in game number five, and you're not going to see very much. Look at what Connaughton did when he came in off the bench, and he gave them a huge lift. You know, is it the age of guys like Jay Crowder and Chris Paul that is creeping up on them because it's been a long, hard playoff series? Yeah, sure, you can make that argument. And in particular, when you have Jrue Holiday, who's just big and physical, and he is all over, I mean all over Chris Paul like a backpack, and not going to let him get free at all and pick him up and push and bump and shove and everything in NBA postseason play. The people, oh, that's a foul. No, you know what? Postseason, it's not. Complain all you want. That's the way the games are officiated. And so the Suns had a great opportunity. The thing is, they played a really good game on Saturday night, the Suns did. They shot 55% from the floor. They turned the ball over, I think it was seven times. That was it. They made their free throws. They did pretty much everything that they should do to win a game in the NBA Finals. But you know what? They couldn't do anything on the defensive end. So here you are, where the Bucks made the adjustment after games one and two. We're going to stop doing the switching on high pick and roll. We're just going to have Jrue Holiday pick up pretty much full court. So I have to get to a point in this where you have to lay it at the feet of the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Nobody has wanted to say anything towards Monty Williams, and he's been great. He has been. But Budenholzer was getting crushed and ripped throughout the postseason about how dumb his team was and the things that they were doing that made them a team that could get beat. And they found a way to take down Brooklyn, and then they found a way to take down Atlanta. Meantime, on the Suns side of the street, there's been no reason to be critical of Coach Monty. And when you get to this point and you just want to sit there and blame Chris Paul, coaching staffs have to make adjustments. Coaching staffs do. I love Montyisms. I think he's a terrific coach. But it's a team deal. If you're going to sit there and just lay it all at the foot of a player, that's not right. It goes on the coach, too. There's people are like, well, this team's not built right for the postseason. There's nothing you can do about that. Nothing you can do about it. That's a waste of time to say, well, if they just change this, because you can't change the roster. But what you can change is what you're doing out on the floor, as the Bucks did after the first two games with Drew Holiday. And so I'm laying it on the feet of Monty, and what do you do in terms of changing things up in game number six? Because so far it's just been about players not coming through. Well, you got to have coaches come through too. And they've had a tremendous run, but everybody's on the line when you have the backs against the wall conversation. And that's where we are, backs against the wall. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. But I would like to see an adjustment. And I feel like that they're going to win tomorrow night in Milwaukee. And I can be dead flat wrong and you'll crush me and it's fine. It's fine. But I look at it and say they played pretty darn well the other night. Couple stops here, couple plays there. Really feel like you've got to get some other people involved offensively. You just do. You can't have one player that is taking most of the shots. The Suns had three players take double figures in shots, and Devin took three times as many. And there comes a point where spread the wealth around, get some other people involved. Bucks are going to say, hey, you know what, Jay Crowder? Knock yourself out and try threes. Yeah, you hit a couple in the first quarter, but you want to jack up a three in the third and fourth quarter? Shoot away, man. Shoot away. Versus Cam Johnson, get him into a rhythm, and he is somebody that can go out and get you 9, 12, 15 points like Connington did the other night for the Bucks. Suns were able to do that and get a couple stops. They win the game. It's that close, okay? Goody is next. What else was on my mind from the weekend? Really, Morikawa yesterday. I was caught up in the open. He was terrific. But it is all Suns Bucks. Jordy Hamm is going to go to Milwaukee. He will be there. Tomorrow we are going to do a pop-up show before the game. We're not going to be live Tuesday morning, okay? We won't be here at 10:06 tomorrow morning. We will do a pop-up show before the game, and we will do a pop-up show after the game tomorrow night. We're going to just change things up because we can. All right. Goody is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. As promised, Goody is with us. I want to go a different spin on this because we've had all the breakdowns and tomorrow night's game six. And we've talked about it ad nauseum, the adjustments, all that stuff. But for all of you consuming this, and Bill has been writing about it. And so I just want to go right down the list of this. And I'm going to throw a different spin at you. If TNT had the rights to the finals, would we be seeing a different, more compelling, less compelling type of production from pregame to in-game to halftime to postgame if TNT had the rights?
I think, well, and as you know, they had the rights to the Eastern Conference Finals, so that was a pretty good – I mean, when the game is going on, you know, unless you're a fan and have a rooting interest, the game is kind of a game. I mean, they're all sort of basketball games, and analysts, you know, play-by-play guys are calling the action and the analysts are analyzing it. So you got a pretty good head-to-head comparison there. The actual call of the game doesn't change substantially for the finals. I mean, they don't do anything different. So I don't hate the ABC crew the way that a lot of Suns fans do. I don't think that there's any inherent bias against the Suns. I think if you're a Bucks fan, you can find the same thing. It's just that when your team is in, you know, when your team is busy losing three in a row, there's probably going to be a lot to point out about things that went wrong. Now I'll say this: pregame, halftime, postgame, nobody does that better than TNT in any sport. Mm-hmm. Not just basketball. Those person, the, you know, it took them a while. It took them a while to hit on the real combination of people that they needed and the people they wanted. But man, it just works now. And you feel like you just walked into a sports bar or something and you're there with old friends.
I have to tell you, it is so painful to watch this ABC broadcast for the pregame stuff and the halftime and the postgame. It's sound bites.
The setup is totally bad.
Yeah, you can't. And look, I love Adrian Wojnarowski, but Adrian Wojnarowski is an insider guy. There's no trades happening in the finals. He did drop a little nugget about, you know, Chris Paul and him being able to opt out, which we've all heard about. But for him to bring it up, to me, says he's still hearing that he will opt out. He didn't go as far as to say that, but he did address it the other night. But this whole Maria Taylor versus Rachel Nichols disaster, and now Maria's being pursued by NBC, and Rachel is over on the side. We don't see her, and Malika Andrews is fine. But I don't get, and it's Breen and it's Van Gundy and it's Mark Jackson, and you talk to Van Gundy and they're all fine, but it's not Marv Albert who's just retiring and Reggie Miller. It's not. And there just is this feeling that Mike Breen is trying to sell the product so dang hard that anything's possible with 5 minutes to go. I got it, Mike. You're wanting to hold your audience. Okay, I understand that. If it's Marv Albert, it's about the game. Now that Marv's out, if it's Kevin Harlan, who TNT has. They have some terrific announcers. So I guess I just look at this whole thing at the start of the series. There were four people on the pregame show. Now it's down to three. I don't know where the other one went. I don't even remember who the other one is. Jalen Rose is still there, but it's 10 seconds of, yeah, Jay Rose, this is going to be tough. Yeah, Woj, this is going to be tough. Hey, Maria, how's your contract coming? Like, they actually referred to her deal on the air in game two. It was crazy.
I know who it is, and I know where he went. It's Jay Williams, and he tested positive for COVID. And he's in the, but
thank you.
It's the structure. It's the it's the way that they have the thing set up. I think individually they're all good. They're all fun to listen to. I think Maria Taylor does a great job. She's so smooth, and there's a good chance that what she's going to do is if this thing ends in game six or if it ends in game seven, it's going to end sometime this week, right? It's going to end Tuesday or it's going to end Thursday. And there's a good chance she's going to walk out of that just like Devin Booker and go to the Olympics because NBC might sign her. And that's what they're talking. Maybe they can share a plane. I don't know, you know, but I think she's really good. And I think she's an excellent host, and she wrangles that as best as you possibly could. But what they don't do is give you that room for conversation that makes the TNT show so good.
Yeah,
they don't. I mean, everybody, and I've seen several stories about this. They've got, you know, and the halftime show is the worst of all. It's like 9 minutes of ads and less than 1 minute of analysis. And all you get, everybody gets one sentence.
Yep.
And the thing with the poor old Woj is that, like, they'd have Rose and Jay Williams, Maria Taylor would say, okay, who you got in, you know, game five or whatever. And they'd make their picks. And poor Woj just sits there. They never ask him who he's got, I guess, because he's a reporter. And without Jay Williams, it was just Jalen Rose. And it's like, well, wait, now there's not even pitting against him. It just I will also say this. People don't necessarily watch for that. People watch to cheer on their teams. The ratings are up over last year, which is pretty obvious because of the bubble. They're down over the year before, but they're not tanking. It has, even though it's not a bubble, even though this resembles what the NBA finals, what we're used to, it's still not quite the same thing yet. I mean, it was kind of a weird year. I think next year will be, you know, seasons that start in December, basketball seasons are kind of odd.
Yeah.
But you know, people watch for the games.
When I was in Milwaukee last week, and 5 days in Milwaukee is a long time. Okay. But you hear from the fans and the bartenders and the servers and all that. They all think Scott Foster has it in for him. If he walks out of the tunnel to officiate the game, then Scott Foster is going to screw over the Bucks. They all think that the ABC broadcasters are on the payroll for the Phoenix Suns because they are so, so, so pro Suns, and they hate the Bucks. And that's all I heard last week in Milwaukee. So they got off the plane back here, and it's the same deal. So, but I guess I'm looking outside of Phoenix and Milwaukee and saying, if I'm a fan in Seattle or I'm a fan in Denver, and I'm just trying to consume this product, and man, I'm used to watching Charles and Kenny and Ernie and Shaq, and I got this thing over here. And like you said, the halftime show is an unmitigated disaster. From a TV standpoint, I just, like, how do these people get into positions to put this stuff together? And that's where I'm stuck on.
It's just such an odd structure. I mean, the pregame show is not horrible, but it ain't great. I mean, it's not the TNT thing.
It's not fun, you know? Bill. It's a game.
It's not fun. It is not fun. They take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Halftime is a waste. And what's interesting is postgame, despite having the pregame people on site, you know, and, you know, here in Phoenix, they're inside. In Milwaukee, they're outside, but they're there. They're physically there, right? The second it's over, go to SportsCenter, go to Scott Van Pelt. And it's just kind of an odd thing. You put all this investment, I mean, you know, literal investments, you know, monetary investments, but also investments of time and investments in people that you're putting there. And then you don't use them for when the most analysis is needed. Mm-hmm. And they'll come back. Now, Van Pelt will come back, but he'll come back to Van Gundy and Jackson.
Yeah.
He won't come back to the supposed analysts, on the pregame show. And they talk to, by the way, Van Pelt show, they talk to everybody that's ever watched somebody dribble a basketball past the front window, but they don't talk to anybody from the pregame show. And it's just a weird use of resources. And it seems jumbled.
Yeah. And so I want to take it over to the local side. So ABC 15 has the rights. I'm a fan of a lot of people that work over there. I'm a big fan of Anita Health, their general manager. I think she's terrific. But when you have front-facing news people saying we and us, is there a problem with that in your view?
Typically, yes. Once every, 28 years, maybe not. I don't know. I think it's, I think that's just how local markets do it. We print up posters, or whatever, inside and that kind of thing. If local news people are saying we and all that kind of stuff, it's a little silly, but it doesn't bother me. If local sports people are saying it, it bothers me a lot. That's the place where it's like, hey, you got a goldfish in your pocket or whatever. I mean, that's not a we, because those people ostensibly are covering these teams day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And if you're covering a game, and you know this better than I do, but I've certainly covered enough games to know. For one thing, you shouldn't have time to have a rooting interest. You're rooting for a story, and we've talked about this before. When you're a fan, you're hoping for triple overtime. You're hoping for the longest game in the history of the world. When you're on deadline, you're hoping for a blowout that's done at halftime. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't really matter. But if the sports people start going in on this we kind of thing, as if they're, as if they're a part of the team, they're not a part of the team. And there's so many things that you get caught up with that, with rights issues and all that kind of thing. But you're not, even if you are a financial, not partner, but a financial player in some way with the team, you're still not of the team. Your name is not on the back of a jersey. Don't say we. It's them. They.
Yeah. I think it's survival for these local TV sports people. I think it's just, gosh, please keep these ratings going, because I'm still going to have a gig. That's my own view. I bought a purple blazer. Okay. My wife said, you've never done that game. You hate that game where when it's a Cardinal game day, people are wearing red and black. I said, I do. But I actually like this purple blazer. And I actually did wear it. And there were people in Milwaukee that said, hey, that is the coolest looking blazer. I'm not on the payroll. Have a little bit of fun with this deal. I think I'm just having a little bit more fun than I used to have. I used to take this stuff like life and death. And I still do to a certain extent. But you don't know if you're ever going to see a finals again, right? Like for you too, riding on this is something you may never see again. And so I think I found myself having some fun. I don't sit there and say, oh, like some people in Milwaukee in the press box, local people on the air, oh, or bang their feet, bang their hands when they miss a shot. Like, dude, you're not here to cheer. Stop. Please stop. And I don't know where that is taught. I don't know where that is taught.
I don't know where it's taught either, but I'll tell you this. It reminds me of something. One time, a long time ago, they sent Ken Summers and I to Nebraska to cover an ASU-Nebraska game. And I was just Kent's lackey. I was just writing a sidebar or something like that. And he was kind of showing me how to do all this stuff. And we said, we got to the press box. And as you know, there are signs in college press boxes, at least, that say, that you can't cheer.
No cheering, yep.
This is, it's against NCAA policy or somebody's policy. I don't know. But, no change. All the Nebraska writers cheered for Nebraska, and Nebraska won 77-0.
I remember.
So there was a lot of cheering. And I mean, and I'm not talking about what you're talking about. It wasn't like, when it was a miss, when an incomplete pass or something. This was like standing up and like cheering them on. And I was like, I just can't believe this. They look like a bunch of hayseeds.
Yeah.
And it was just embarrassing. And you don't want to get, you don't want to be in that position. You don't want to put yourself in a purple blazer. Sure. And although I am curious to know how much mileage you're going to get out of that after the playoffs are over, I'm not sure where else you're going to wear it unless it's to like a Prince tribute concert or something, but
Halloween night, man, or GC.
But maybe just wear it. Just wear it as a thing. Maybe it can become a thing. Purple's
be like purple's be like the soccer guy in Ted Lasso, just wears a jacket with no shirt on.
Exactly.
The player. All right, before I get you out of here.
I will say this. It's not as blatant as had it been bright orange.
All right. Well, that's true. I'm not Orange Man. Breen, Van Gundy, Mark Jackson. You're watching the game. Do you like where they are? I like it when Van Gundy says, that's a foul. I do like that. That's kind of his deal now that I've watched him enough. Mark Jackson, I don't know. I kind of feel like he's just there keeping his name and face above water. So when there is a coaching opening, he's going to take it. Breen is a company guy. That's all he is, right? And he's
Profession. I think Breen's okay. I think he does a good job. He and remember, he has a little bit of that Dave Pass job where he has to wrangle a couple of people who without a little bit of guidance might go in any direction. I think he does a good job. And he gave a really nice shout out to Al McCoy.
And
I spoke to Al about that. And he said actually one time long ago before Breen was even doing sports, he came up to him when the Suns were playing in New York and said, hey, I'd like to be a play-by-play guy someday. And, you know, I'd love any tips you can give me. And they kind of got to know each other that way. And that was really nice. I don't hate Van Gundy the way a lot of people hate him. He says some really stupid stuff and some really indefensible stuff sometimes, but it's just because he shoots his mouth off. And as you say, I talked to him and he admits that up front. He's like, I just talk. I just say Jackson to me always seems like he's mildly offended that someone asked him to say something. He seems everybody says Van Gundy's grumpy. I mean, I think with Van Gundy, I don't think it's an act, but I think he overdoes, you know, he overplays it a little bit.
Right.
I think Jackson is grumpy. Yeah. He just sounds like he's bored and he's just unhappy that someone asked his opinion. And honestly, at some point Mike Breen should say, well, Mark, if you don't want to talk, I'm going to stop asking you.
You know? Yeah. Right.
It's not the broadcast it's not Marv Albert, as you say. I mean, Marv Albert is one of those guys like Vin Scully. He doesn't really need a color analyst. I mean, I would listen to him just do it. And it's too bad that he's not going to do that anymore. And you mentioned Kevin Harlan. I think he sounds like Marv Albert. I mean, it's clear where his influences lie. But the Breen is professional. Van Gundy's kind of a grouch, but Jackson to me is just kind of a mystery.
Okay, last question. So you've done a couple of things with Al McCoy here in the postseason. Every year the question for the last, as long as I've been here, is Al going to hang it up? Is Al going to hang it up? Is tomorrow night potentially his last game? I don't know. Have you talked to him about it?
I have. Next year would be his 50th year.
Right.
Calling Suns game. I called baseball before that and says that baseball is actually, for an announcer, in some ways the most fun because there's so many downtime. You get to tell so many stories and everything. But obviously he loves the Suns. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But I asked him that, and he said he honestly does not know. He says he's just trying to get to the end of the week.
Yeah. Well, so, and that's a good way to put it with Al, because he is a treasure. And I'm very, very happy for him, because he's been through, you know, the 11 years of just calling crap on the court. And he's
upfront about it. He said he just had to concentrate. He said there's so many great players, there's always something to talk about. But there wasn't a lot to talk about with the home team.
No. All right, let you go off that. Be safe. Safe travel. Stay well. Thanks. There is Goody at the movies or on radio or on TV or media in general. You can find Bill's content on azcentral.com. We're back with more after this timeout.